Welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. My name is Davina Faust, and my goal for this podcast is to bring you some positivity every single week and to inspire you to recognize that your struggles are just part of your story. I have completely changed my life, and I just want you to know that you can do the same thing. I'll also be bringing on some really incredible people who are just like you, who have learned to turn their own pain into power. Hey guys, welcome to the Turning Pain into Power podcast. This episode in particular is probably about a year in the making because I have been watching my friend really be able to turn his lemons into delicious baked goods. And I've been wanting to share his story for so long now, and I'm so glad that he's on. This is an old friend of mine, Mark Bittler, and I'm here to share his story about how during the pandemic, he actually launched his own bakery business called Door to Door Desserts. And I'm going to let him tell his story. So Mark, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here.
I'm so happy. And I'm so happy to hear your voice and to have you here.
Likewise. I was thinking about when I lived in New York, and both of us were in the same city. And I feel like we would always run into each other. There were like multiple instances where we would run into each other on the street or on the subway. And it was, in fact, one time we ran into each other and we were literally crossing like 8th Avenue or something like that. It was something ridiculous. And we were on the crossover. We were like, oh my God, hi, how are you? We have to catch up sometime. Oh my God, you look great. You look great. Let's, you know, that kind of thing. And so now it's just so nice to like sit down and chat with you because when you're living that New York life, you're just kind of running all of the time.
100%. And I know exactly what instance you're talking about. I was just leaving happy hour, so I was probably a little bit drunk. but you know what? Another thing about you is like every time I ran into you, you would just very gently tap me on the shoulder. Like you would just place your hand on my shoulder and then I would look and see who it was. And it was just this loving face looking at me. And I'm like, Mark, it was just the universe giving me a hug in the form of Mark Bittler. It was amazing every single time. And I miss those little.
Well, you know, I've done that before with like the gentle tap on the shoulder and then realize I don't know this person. So then I just have to run the opposite direction. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, but I love that. That is such a nice compliment. And I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. So I thought we could start by just taking the audience back to where you were in February of 2020 before the world turned upside down and then how you got into this concept for your business.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in February of 2020, I was actually living down in Florida. I was finishing up my graduate degree, my MFA in acting at Florida State University with the Oslo Conservatory, which is housed at the Oslo Repertory Theater, which is in Sarasota, Florida, on the Gulf side. And at that point in time, it was my final semester. I had finished one production, I was understudying another one. And then also at that time frame, I was working on a solo show, literally a week before the whole shutdown thing. I was doing a dress rehearsal of the piece and everything. And then, you know, shit hit the fan and this pandemic made its entrance. So yeah, that's kind of where I was. And as far as the birth of this business, it kind of came out of a joke. I always loved to bake. I loved being in the kitchen. And I always had these chocolate chip cookies, a recipe that I had been working on for a few years. And I would bring them into school and or to rehearsals or whatever. And people would always comment, oh, you should sell these, Mark. Like, you could totally make some money. I was like, shut up. And then I was doing some baking during our initial lockdown where we thought that we were only going to be, you know, doing this for 2 weeks, maybe a month. I think maybe at that point it was like we knew we were going to be shut down for like a month or until May or something like that. And I jokingly said to my roommate, I was like, yeah, because I'm just going to like start a bakery out of our kitchen that we have here. And my roommate, being, you know, the supportive roommate that he was like, fucking do it. And so that's where it kind of started. It just started with me offering a dozen cookies of my chocolate chip cookie recipe, willing to deliver in the area. And that was that. And then I was like, oh, okay, I could come up with something here. And then once my lease was up in Florida, which was around mid-May, we knew that at that point, unfortunately, COVID wasn't really going anywhere anytime soon. It wasn't going away. So I knew that I had lost all my work for the remainder of 2020. By that time, I had multiple artistic directors and directors reach out to me saying, I'm sorry, but we have to cancel this production, that gig, etc. So I knew I had to make the decision to move home with my parents. Thankfully, they let me in and we had the space. So then I was like, well, I guess I can just see how this baking thing snowballs, or see where it goes, see what I can do with it for now. Because the whole thing from, you know, we would go into May and June and July, nobody really knew like how long we were going to be doing this, you know? So that's kind of where it was. And in May and June, I continued to develop certain recipes that maybe I had done in the past or ones that I always wanted to try, and elaborated on all of them and really worked on like a social media presence and the idea of advertising by word of mouth. And yeah, I've been doing that ever since.
I love it. And I've got to say, like, you have such a strong social media presence and branding, and just everything that you put out there is just so beautiful and so tempting for me. Yeah, of course. And we can get into that in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to touch on something that I forgot how it felt. And I can empathize with you in the sense of just having projects, artistic projects that you're pouring your soul into and taking so much of yourself to put into, and the plug has been pulled.
Yeah.
And you don't know when it's going to be plugged back in. And I had this experience when my cabaret, it was going to be my first time performing in 6 years in New York City. And it was going to be on March 28th. And I had to cancel it on March 13th. And it's just like it's a loss that I still don't think I've gotten over. So I just want to send my heart out to you for that, not only for your grad school, but everything that you're doing and putting so much work into. Like, being an artist is not easy in the first place. And then just having to, it's almost like you can't see something so important to you through to the end. And I really hope that we can come back stronger and that you can pick up where you left off eventually, because you deserve that as an artist.
Yeah, same to you. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It felt, not to be crude or anything, but in speaking about, you know, my graduating class, which, you know, my class of actors, there's only 10 of us in the class. And I was like, guys, it feels like we all were just blue balled. Like,
it's a good way of describing it, though.
Because, you know, especially at the end of the year, you're wrapping up, when you're in your final year, you're doing the shows with the rep company, you're doing your little projects, you're raising money. Like, we had my school does a New York showcase, and we had all this money that we were raising for that. Even like the simple and nice fact of like graduation, the ceremony of graduating and that idea of like pomp and circumstance, that was, you know, that's, it just means a lot. And then having all that taken away, it, I just like couldn't think of any way else to describe it. I mean, that's a lie. I can think of plenty of ways to describe it, but if I'm being crude and blunt and everything, that would be how I would say it. It was like, it's just this weird feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, I don't know, maybe baking was a form of just creative outlet for you, or maybe a form of therapy. I know that that's something that has helped me a lot. I have been playing with makeup, which I have never done in my 32 years of existence. And that was kind of my time to play and be creative with myself. So I wonder if that was baking for you.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, in other breaks within that I've had within grad school, I've been able to revert back to like fine art, and I, you know, continue doing drawing, and I enjoy doing painting and things like that. And it was then that I realized, oh, if I'm not doing something directly related to acting and in theater or in education, my creative brain or my creative muse, if it's not tired and worn out, it needs to be put to use to something else. And yeah, I think you're exactly right in saying that if baking and cooking and being in the kitchen certainly is a therapy for me, as well as a creative outlet. Beyond that, touching base on the social media thing, which I always think I'm horrible at and I hate it and I never want to put in the time to do it, but I do it anyway. And I think that also has given me the creative outlet that I normally would be putting into rehearsals and memorizing and working and performing and things like that. My placement of my creative muse and soul has been just redirected for now.
Right. And it's almost a showcase of your work ethic as well, because if you think about right before the pandemic hit, you said yourself, you were in grad school, you were finishing up your degree, you were working on all of these things, and it was just always go, 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 go. So it's us creative people are not only seeking a way to express ourselves, but also just to stay busy, I think, because it's all we ever know.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, everyone else is very zen in their quarantine, and I'm here bouncing myself off of the walls, like, get me out of here, let me do something, you know? Yeah. But I have to give you credit here, because so many people in quarantine became bread bakers and became cookie makers, but their work never left their kitchen. So the fact that you decided to actually, you know, take a chance on something, and why not make a little money doing this and put a little more elbow grease into it. I applaud you for that. And I've been just enjoying watching your growth and watching you put yourself out there. It's something that I've done myself several times, and I know it's not easy. And so that's why I wanted to bring you on here, is to just celebrate your path and celebrate how much you have been able to do, even though it may not be the end all be all for you, you still were able to make something positive out of your situation. And I'm so proud of you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Yeah.
And I think also on top of that, as far as like my idea of, oh, I have this product or this skill, I can maybe make some money off of it. I think on top of that, it went in the sense of, we've in the past few years, and especially in this past year, there's been so much talk about shop small, shop local, support small businesses. And especially within the artist community, it's always like, you know, support your friends, support their side hustles, things like that. And I think that's something that also kind of maybe not initially attracted me to it, but like as I kept going on and through this summer and especially into the holiday season, I was like, oh, I'm part of this act of supporting small businesses and shopping small and giving the money and the goods back to the people.
I love that. And it's so important to do. And if I remember correctly, you took headshots for me a few years ago. So you are a bit of a, you do have a bit of a business mind about you. So what was it like to tap back into that side of yourself?
Well, I don't know if I ever really tapped out of it. I mean, I will say one thing that I've always prided myself on, if it was like doing these little small businesses of like taking headshots for people or doing, you know, baking and stuff like that, within the industry, as far as entertainment and acting goes, I've always been quite business minded, or in the sense of like, I knew how to talk to casting directors or agents or directors. You know, I knew the lingo. I've always been pretty well equipped in that sense. So I don't know if I ever, I think so much of this, a response would just be, well, I just redirected it or had to take a different route or a detour. But I don't know if I ever really tapped out of that, because they always tell us in any training or institution with theater or acting, you are the CEO of your acting business, your product, your you.
Exactly. You have to sell yourself, and you are basically like a walking brand of yourself. So that is such a good point. And I'm so happy that you answered it that way, because I was, the minute I asked the question, I was like, he's so right. So it's just you running the business yourself. Am I right in saying that?
You are correct. Yeah.
So how's it going? Like, what's the day-to-day life look like for you?
Well, one thing that I noticed pretty early on is it reflects very similar to what restaurant life was like. Aside from acting, I also always worked in restaurants. And listen, you have some weeks that you're so busy, you're slammed, and you're making good money, thankfully. And then you have other weeks where it's kind of dead. And lately, I will say it's been on the slower ends, but that's okay. I've been able to make ends meet otherwise. I have other jobs and other little things going on. But yeah, as far as my schedule went, for instance, like the height of it over the summer when I was doing a lot of baking and everything and really working on growing it, I would only really bake maybe Wednesday nights, all day Thursday. I would get up, you know, at 6:30 or so in the morning and finish at Lord knows what time and just bake all day. And then Fridays were when I would make my deliveries, and I would go out Friday late morning or so and make my deliveries. Recently, because I have another job, I had to change my delivery days to Saturdays, but otherwise, in some sense, my schedule hasn't changed that much. But yeah, hope that answers your question-ish.
Yeah, it does. It's fantastic. And you are still delivering in Berks County and Lancaster County, but you also have expanded to shipping as well, because I got some cookies in New York and I was a very happy camper.
Yeah. So I had a handful of friends, you know, so much of my network is in New York. So I had some friends being like, would you be willing to ship? And so I toyed around with it, and I was like, okay, well, how can I, crunching the numbers a bit and like thinking about how can I do this without overwhelming myself? So yeah, I expanded and to essentially all the neighboring states, pretty much all of New England. And yeah, so I try to keep it like in the East Coast or the Northeast. But, and I do have little limitations. I have these awesome sugar cookies, but they have buttercream frosting, and packaging them up would just be a little messy. I also added a whoopie pie cake to my menu, but I'm not gonna ship that out. So, but everything else, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like your menu has grown a lot since you first launched this. Like, I remember, I think I got like chocolate chip and maybe some oatmeal raisin from you, but now you're like exquisitely like pumpkin spice whoopie pies in the fall. And just, I'm over here salivating, like knowing that I can't get to Berks County anytime soon. And I just have to drool on myself. Where do you find inspiration for new recipes? Or are you constantly trying to change your menu? Or are you like what is your creative process for that like?
Yeah. Well, aside from the whoopie pie cake, which I just added maybe like a month or two ago, the menu that I had been the same since essentially September. And then I had like 7 or 8 items. And I was like, this is doable for me. I'm not like biting off more than I can choose. And as far as inspiration goes, one of the things that I like, or I like doing, is just taking simple classic recipes and amplifying them, but not over the top, not with bells and whistles. It's the idea of, God damn it, I want a really good chocolate chip cookie that's going to be filling and just tasty. And it just has to be a good chocolate chip cookie. So that's what I worked on. Same thing with like, you know, sometimes you just want a really good brick of a fudge brownie. And that's what I worked on, looked at recipes, tried a few different recipes out, made some alterations, and then that's what I came up with. So it's partially that, the idea of just like good, simple baked goods that, you know, we often crave on a Friday night while we're watching Netflix. And then the other portion would probably be just kind of based off of what I grew up knowing and loving, having grown up in Pennsylvania in farm country. A whoopie pie is a staple. So I offer a few kinds of whoopie pies.
I love all of that. And I have to say, when I had your cookies here, I'm a very big like coffee and cookie person. Oh, yes. Like every time I drink coffee, I'm like, where's my cookie? Yes. So I found that your cookies were really great for that, especially just like sometimes I just sip and bite, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a day to day, whatever I'm feeling, but I know that I always want a cookie when I have coffee. I'm like, yeah. Pavlov's dog, you know?
Yeah.
But I love that. And I love that you said that you don't try to be too crazy with your flavors, because mm-hmm. I have seen bakeries that have, you know, they're like cheesecake, chocolate, peanut butter, caramel, blah, blah, blah. And like, I love all of those things, but not necessarily all together. And
there's a time and place for it.
Right. And it's not like you're not trying to reinvent the wheel. You're trying to upgrade the wheel. Like you're just trying mm-hmm. to make it just a little bit more refined, a little bit more scrumptious and flavorful as it is. And I really like that. I think that's a great angle to take, where you don't have to overcomplicate it. That's great.
Yeah. And also I think all of those things are part of my brand and draw to people ordering from me. And then I would say, veering off of the recipes, the other part is the fact that you don't go to a market, you don't go to a grocery store to get my stuff. If you're local, you get it delivered to your doorstep on a Friday afternoon. So it's the idea of kind of old school, like the milkman coming by, like drops your milk jars outside, and that's what you had for the week. It's like that idea.
I love that so much. Something, and like, I also nostalgic. Yeah, I also love the milkman image, because you do have a very prominent mustache, and I would imagine a milkman having a similar mustache. Yeah. So is the mustache part of your brand now too?
You know what? It's so funny that you say that, because I didn't think it was for a while. And then one of my other friends back in the fall or something pointed it out, and I was like, oh, I guess so. Yeah. So yeah, the mustache, as long as door-to-door desserts is here, the mustache is here.
I love that. And that's actually a nice segue into what I was going to ask you. So we're starting to get vaccinated. The state of New York is opening up significantly. I know Pennsylvania will be right behind it. What are your plans for door-to-door desserts? Like, if you go back to Florida, will the business go with you? Like, have you been thinking about these things?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear.
Well, I'm looking for my own place and I've been thinking about it. And I was like, well, I don't know if whatever kind of place I will be living in will have the kitchen capacity to operate door-to-door desserts to what it has been. However, I do believe, I think I, in some sense, I would like to keep my menu and keep what I offer out there. So yeah, I will be doing it, I think, in the future, maybe to not exactly the same extremes that I have within the past year, kind of toning it down. But
yeah, and even like if you are planning to come home for the holidays, you could say, hey guys, I'll be home for the holidays. If anyone wants door-to-door desserts, not that you want to suck up all of your holiday time baking, but if it's something you enjoy and you can make a little money off of it, then why not, right? But that's up to you to decide. I think, like I said earlier, this world has just been so crazy. And the fact that you found a center and you found an outlet for yourself and a sense of productivity, and it's delicious productivity, is a really great thing. And I think whatever happens, happens in the future. But for now, I just wanted to celebrate you. And I'm so glad that I got a hold of you and I could have you on the show today.
Oh, thank you. I loved it. I was so excited when you reached out to me. So yeah, this is great.
Of course. I love sharing your story, and I'd love for other people to be able to order from you as well, if they're on the East Coast or if they're in Berks and or Lancaster counties in particular. Do you have a website? Do you have social media links where people could find you and connect with you and drool over your delicious snacks?
I do, yes. So my main website, which is probably the easiest or best way to like get to know me and what I'm all about, is www.doortodoordesserts.com. But in between each word, there's a hyphen. So it's door hyphen to hyphen door hyphen desserts.com. And then that goes for the same for my Instagram and my Facebook group page or business page, whatever, as well, door to door desserts. Just make sure that it's all the locations are under like Pennsylvania or Berks County, because I did find out there is a door to door desserts in Ireland.
Oh,
isn't that funny?
Maybe at the end, like when you are transitioning back into acting, you could like sell them your business and they can expand to the United States.
That would be funny.
Then you could be like Mr. International over here.
Yeah, I only found out because one morning I was like looking, checking my Instagram page, and like someone had tagged me and I in this photo, and I was like, these are not my desserts, but they look pretty tasty. And I commented on, or I sent a message to this person, and I was like, I think you have the wrong door-to-door desserts, but they look great, and hope you're doing well over in Ireland.
I love that. Well, I am definitely, before you move, I will definitely place an order and keep them in my freezer if I have to, because that is...
Everything freezes well,
So I absolutely love that. And I, again, for the millionth time, I'm just so proud of you and so grateful that you came on and shared your story with us. And I wish you only the best, because that's what you deserve.
Oh, well, thank you, Ms. Davina. Same to you.
Thanks.
My goal for this podcast is to always spread some positive vibes. And to keep that good energy flowing, it would mean a lot to me if you could share this episode with your friends or leave a nice review on iTunes. Or you could always find me on Instagram at Davina Faust and take a screenshot of the episode. But remember, no matter what it looks like for you, your happiness is worth fighting for.